chapter 6. Mark's Gospel in chapter 6, verse 32. I've just counted earlier today, there's about 10 people in the audience that have been to the last two conferences in Palmerston North and Wellington. And for those who were there will remember that at both conferences, somebody took up the feeding of the 5,000 in relation to the believer. I'm going to take up the same miracle, but this time in relation to the unbeliever, and trust that there will be great help for anyone still unsaved. Mark chapter 6, verse 32. And they departed into a desert place, and of course, our brother, sorry to interrupt thee, even at Dunedin, our brother Ray has touched on this miracle in his message earlier today. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. Verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, verse 36, send them away, that they may go into a country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 loaves or 5 and 2 fishes. Verse 42. And they did all eat and were filled. And we trust the Lord to bless the reading of his word. Our attention has just been drawn to Revelation chapter 5, where John spoke about a great crowd of people, of saints, of angels, of living beings, and so on. What did they do? They gave. They gave glory and worship and adoration to the Lamb in the midst of the throne. When you come to the crowd in Mark chapter 6, it's a crowd that wasn't giving. They received. Again, it was a great crowd. They received food from the hands of the Savior. My friend, God wants you to give. Just like the innumerable company in heaven. But what can you give? There's nothing that you can give to God that God doesn't already have. God wants your life. God wants your soul. God wants you. And if you prepare to give yourself to God, you will join that innumerable crowd and you will be able to give to God what He is really due. A miracle. Now, there are some miracles that only occurs in one gospel. In one gospel. There are some miracles that occur in 3 gospels. And our brother Ray mentioned it this morning. This is the only miracle. The only miracle that occurs in all 4 gospels. That gives it some importance, some significance. There's something of great importance about this. It links with the very first miracle that he performed in the Gospel of John. Together it brings before us Christ as the Lamb of God, Christ as the bread of life, and the one who gave his blood, who shed his blood and gave his life. Why was it recorded in all four Gospels? Well, there might be other reasons too, but no other miracle was quite as public as the feeding of the 5,000. No other miracle had been performed in front of so many witnesses and so many people than this. 5,000 men in verse 34, 5,000 men. And the word the Spirit of God uses there is 5,000 males. And Matthew solves the problem for us. Matthew says 5,000 males besides the women and children. And so scholars try to determine how big the crowd was. And most scholars had put the crowd between 15,000 and 20,000 people. There were only 5,000 men, males, but then there were women and there were children. Close to 20,000 people for this miracle. This was a huge crowd. And this huge crowd faced three problems. Three problems. They didn't have a shepherd. They needed a shepherd. In verse 34, the second part, they were as sheep not having a shepherd. They didn't have a shepherd. But there was a second problem. They didn't have a lamb. Why did they need a lamb? Now I will refer to, since this occurs in all four Gospels, I will allow John and Matthew to help us see the fullness of the story. So when you go to John chapter 6 verse 4, John gives us the timing of this miracle. The timing of this miracle. John says, the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. It was Passover. They needed a lamb. The ultimate lamb, the Lamb of God, was in their midst. And they didn't know it. But they had a third problem. They didn't have food. We read in verse 36 of our chapter. For they have nothing to eat. You know, they followed the Savior. They followed the Master. And we'll see the reason why they followed the Master. And because of the reason why they followed the Master, it never crossed their minds that they needed a shepherd. It never crossed their minds that they needed a sacrifice, a lamb. It never crossed their mind that they needed food, that they needed sustenance. I wonder, my friend, has it ever crossed your mind that you need a shepherd to lead you onwards to God, onwards to heaven? Has it ever crossed your mind that you need the Lamb of God for forgiveness of sins? Has it ever crossed your mind that you need more than physical food, that you also need spiritual food? Let's look at the three problems in a little more detail. First, they didn't have a shepherd. They needed a shepherd. Verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. You know what John says in his account? John gives us the reason why they were there. John says they followed the Lord, they followed the Lord because they saw his miracles. They were not there for food. They were not there for a lamb. They were not there for shepherd care. They saw his miracles and they wanted to see more. They couldn't get enough. To them, he was only a miracle worker, a healer, a clever physician. They failed to see him as the shepherd of the sheep. Oh, how they failed in their discernment. They had no appreciation of his person. As the true shepherd of the sheep, he cared for lost sheep. But that's a problem in the world today. I wonder if it's a problem with you, my friend. When you look at Christ, when you think of Christ, you only think of him as a good teacher. If you do, you have a problem. Because there are many in this world that claim to be good teachers. Some see him as a good man, a good example, and I can point you to many people in this world that are good men and good women and good examples. They fail to see him as the true shepherd of the sheep. How do you see Christ? What do you think of Christ? He's the true shepherd of the sheep. Because he cared about lost sheep. In verse 34, we read that he was moved with compassion toward them. The word compassion, the concept of compassion, is very closely linked with love. Some would use compassion for love. But compassion is compassion goes far more, far further than love. Compassion is much deeper than love. What is compassion? Compassion is a deep awareness of the needs of others, coupled with a strong desire to meet that need. He was moved with compassion toward them. That created a strong desire within him to meet their need. Why was he moved? The second part of verse 34. Because they were as sheep without a shepherd. What does that mean? What does that imply? If they were like sheep without a shepherd, he knew that they were helpless, that they were hopelessly lost, that they were on their way to dangerous paths. Sheep. Now they had religious leaders, but they were not interested in the flock. They didn't care for the flock. All they cared about was rules, regulations, compliance, money. Isn't that exactly the problem of religion in our world today? Rather than leading men to Christ, they are more worried about wealth and finances and rules. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Now you see, the image of people as sheep is a very powerful image. Because when you think of sheep, especially from a biblical perspective, without a shepherd, man just like sheep is lost. Lost because of his sin. Lost because of his condition. He needs a shepherd to rescue him from the wrath of God. So let me introduce you to the good shepherd of the sheep. Apart from the good shepherd, no one would ever find their way to God. There's no one who knows the way to heaven. In fact, there is no way to the Father without the good shepherd. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, this is the good shepherd. He left heaven's glory to come and see that which is lost. He's come. 2,000 years ago, he died on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. And you'd say, well, he's done that 2,000 years ago. Was that enough? No, he continues to pursue you tonight. Today, through his word, through the preaching of the gospel. And he offers you something rare that you will never find in this world. Happiness, true happiness. Joy, lasting joy. Love, true love, If you find that in the world, you'd have it made. But none of those things are found in the world. Yes, you will find happiness and joy and love, but they are all incomplete. Not in its fullness. It's never perfect. Without a shepherd, man, just like a sheep, is lost. But more than that, without a shepherd, man, just like a sheep, is defenseless. Defenseless. You see, all animals, most animals would have a defense mechanism, like fangs or claws or horns, you name it. Sheep possess none. When I'm overseas, I usually make a joke when people ask me, and I say, the most dangerous animal in New Zealand is a sheep. But we know, can't do anything for you and to you. It's totally defenseless. And here we have man. We have the world that think that they have all the defenses that they need. Nuclear bombs. These days it's drones. Cybersecurity, you name it. The world is fully set to protect itself. But they can never protect themselves against the wrath of God. You see, what the world has for protection will never work in hell and the lake of fire. Defenseless. Man needs someone who can protect him against the realities of the judgment of God. Now, when the good shepherd died on the cross, he took that judgment that was rightfully ours. He took it upon himself. Listen to what Isaiah says in chapter 53, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs, not his. He carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for, you get the message. It's all ours. That's the punishment. That's the judgment of God that was rightfully ours. He took it upon himself. What a shepherd. In verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. He saw the crowds, that huge crowd. But he also saw individuals. He saw every physical ailment. He saw every broken heart. He saw every mental need, every spiritual need. Tonight, he looks out over this world and he sees the vast majority of people unsaved. My dear friend, he also sees you. He sees your needs. He especially is concerned about your spiritual needs. They needed a shepherd. What was the solution? Christ, the good shepherd. Secondly, they needed a lamb. They needed a lamb. Like I said, John gives us the exact time when this miracle took place. He says in chapter 6, verse 4, and the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. The Passover was a great feast. It used to be called the Feast of Jehovah. You know what John calls it? You know what the Spirit of God calls this feast now? The Feast of the Jews. Oh, what has changed? Well, the Jews had added their own flavor to this feast. They made up their own rules for this feast. They ignored the essential principles of this feast. The way they celebrated this feast was not in accordance with the mind of God. It wasn't in line with the Word of God. It pointed to the empty religion of the time. And it's called the Feast of the Jews instead of the Feast of Jehovah. The Passover was nigh. The Lamb of God was in the midst. But he wasn't wanted. by formal religion. Is it any different today in our world? Oh, people will follow rules, and they will follow men, and they will follow traditions, and they will join church and religion rather than the Word of God. They will add to the Word. They will water down the Word. They will ignore the Word of God. They will turn away from God. They will make up their own rules. Just like then, man wants the feast, but not the Lamb. Not the Lamb. And at the moment, the majority of people in this world do not have the Lamb of God. They don't know the Lamb. In fact, they reject the Lamb. They want the feast. Think of Christmas. Everybody, everywhere in the world celebrates Christmas. Oh, they want to buy gifts to others, and they will receive gifts from others, but they ignore and they reject the very gift of God. Ignoring the reason for the season. Think of Easter. Basically, everybody celebrates Easter. Oh, they celebrate the death of Christ, and they will have crosses. But they don't want the Lamb. They say, give us the feasts. Give us the parties. Give us the gifts. But don't bring Christ into it. Then it was a religion without a feast, without Christ, without the Lamb. Today it is a religion without the Lamb. Can I ask you, are you religious or are you a Christian? Are you saved or are you only a church member? They kept the feast without the Lamb. The second problem, they needed a Lamb. And the solution to their problem was, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But there was a third problem. A third problem. They needed sustenance. They needed food. You see, he was interested in their spiritual welfare. He preached unto them. He was also interested in their physical welfare. He fed them. He fed them with bread. While there is no lack of physical food in our world today, there's definitely a lack of spiritual food. Or the world can offer us happiness, but not true and lasting happiness. Joy, but not true and lasting joy. It will offer peace, but you know the peace never lasts. Nothing that the world can offer. And so here we are in the world, and we are introduced to the hopelessness of the situation. There was not enough food. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, almost 20,000 people. As if that was not enough. There was not enough money to buy food. Listen to verse 37, the second part. Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? That implies that that's all the money they had. Scholars reckon that 200 penny worth of bread could never feed even 2,000 people, let alone 5,000 men, let alone 15,000 to 20,000 people. So they were correct in their calculation. Their calculation was correct, but they calculated without Christ. Calculated without Christ. In verse 39, he commanded them all to sit down. Sit down. Clearly, those who would not submit to his arrangement would not be fed. If he said, sit down, make them sit down, anyone who stood would not be fed. The same is true of salvation. Salvation is God's way. We need to submit to God's arrangements. Oh, we made up our own rules. Just go to church. Just live a good life. Just get baptized. Just read. Oh, we make up our own rules. Unless we submit to the arrangement that God has given in His Word, we will never be saved. No one would be saved and fed until they have sat down. Why sitting down? Sitting down was, in the first place, a position of rest. By sitting down, they would give up all self-effort to be fed. And the same applies to you and to me. To sit down, spiritually speaking, means to give up all self-effort to work for my salvation, to pay my way to heaven. It must be abandoned. He made them sit down. Have you done that? Or are you still trying to get to heaven through your own efforts? Trying to be good. Trying to be better. Trying to live by the golden rule. Following religion. Joining a church. All God is asking of you tonight is to sit down. Is to rest in the finished work of Christ on the cross. You want to pay for your salvation? I'm sorry, it's too late. The price has been paid on the cross of Calvary. You want to satisfy God through one or another way? Again, no need for that. There was only one person who could satisfy God fully. That's His Son, and He's done it. You see, if millions and millions and millions of sacrifices in the Old Testament over thousands of years could never fully satisfy the heart of God, how do you think you did? But He did. Because He was sinless and perfect. And He could deal not only with the problem of sin or with the fruit of sin, but with the very root of sin, the very problem of sin. So if you want to satisfy God, forget about it. You try to work for your salvation? He's done all the work required for God to forgive you and to save you. All you need to do is to rest, to sit down, to rest in Him. What does it mean? When they sat down, they acknowledged that they will listen to Him. They will receive from His good hand. He said, sit down. And they would sit down in obedience to His word. He's still asking you to sit down tonight, today. By sitting down, you're saying, what He says is true. What is He saying? He's telling us in the Bible that we are all born in sin. All born in sin. He's telling us because of that problem, our sin problem, we are all on our way to a lost eternity. He's telling us more. He's telling us that there's a way to heaven through His Son, who's paid the price, who's completed the work. By accepting what He said, by receiving from His good hand what He's provided, you can be saved. But you need to sit down. There's blessing only where there is obedience. Verse 42. And they did all eat and were full. 15,000 to 20,000 people completely satisfied and filled. What a miracle! All were filled and yet an abundance remained in verse 42, 43. 12 baskets were left over. Can I put it to you? For the last 2,000 years, many have been saved. Many received from His good hand. Many have been satisfied. And yet the riches of His grace is as abundant as ever. There's food for everyone. There's still enough. for you? Have you received salvation and joy and mercy and love and peace and forgiveness from the hand of the Savior? The solution to the first problem was Christ, the good shepherd of the sheep. And you know what happened? They were satisfied. They were satisfied. The solution to the second problem was Christ, the Lamb of God. God was satisfied. The solution to the third problem was Christ, the bread of life. You can be satisfied. As we draw this meeting to a close, I want you to note that those who were fed that day, those who were satisfied, were those who came to Him. We read that in verse 33, the end of it. They came unto Him. And my dear friend, if ever you're going to be saved, that's exactly what you need to do. You need to come to Christ. You see, they came out of curiosity. They came to see more miracles. But you and I, we are invited. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I wonder, will you come tonight? Shall we pray? Father, we come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank thee for this wonderful message of the gospel. We thank thee that there's a Savior in heaven, one who is willing to save and one who is able to save. He's indeed the good shepherd for those who are lost as sheep. He's the Lamb of God for those who need Him to satisfy God with regard to judgment and condemnation. We thank thee that He's also the bread of life, able to satisfy, able to fill, able to feed us with Himself, with forgiveness, whatever we need to get to heaven. And we do pray that there might be a turn to Christ for salvation in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.